Amen. And forgive me for this little distraction, but the Lord gave me another 4 pages before I came out. So from the time he started singing to the time that we did. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here, that you're still controlling and you're still leading your bride. And so, Father, we just ask you to be with us and help us, Lord, and to understand better the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So I actually I don't need the stool anymore, but I use it because it's more comfortable since my stroke 3 years ago, and my energy won't last longer. So anyway, we're going to talk on Satan's Eden number 255, Possessing Resurrection Revelation. Now, John 11:1 says, Now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now remember, that was the prostitute that, came and anointed his feet. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his servant, to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In other words, if your life is darkness, then you won't see, all right? You won't understand. Just like 1 Corinthians 2 says, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you won't understand the word. You won't understand the things of God, okay? Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of a rest in sleep. Then saith Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not here. Now, can you imagine that? I'm glad that I wasn't here to heal him because he was supposed to die. How many of you can actually accept that? That a person has to die? You see, God has all things worked together for the good of those that love the Lord. So God has everything under control, okay? Now, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And now let's just skip to verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as he heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Now look, I want to stop here and just point out that this woman, Martha, she had a revelation. She knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but what she was not aware of was just how Jesus and the Father were co-inhabiting the same body. So she wasn't aware that the fullness of the Godhead, God himself, was dwelling in Jesus. Now remember, Paul tells us that God was in Christ. He wasn't Christ, he was in Christ. Christ is anointing. God was in that anointing, okay, in that man. Now, so she wasn't aware that the fullness of the Godhead, God himself, was dwelling in Jesus. She saw the humanity, she knew the humanity, and she understood his obedient relationship to his Father, but she was not aware that God himself was indwelling his Son. Now, Brother Branham explained this relationship in his sermon, Total Deliverance. He said, Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. He said, you see, he was tempted in all manner like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. And He had desires and temptations like we do. The Bible said that. It was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1 said that. He was. Hebrews 1, 4 said he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man, that God took a complete man. Remember, a man has a body, soul, and spirit. God took a complete man that God could take a complete man to bring a total deliverance. And he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure. Remember, it happened on the River Jordan. And he was tempted like we were, and he was completely God. So you have a paradox. Complete man, but he's completely God, because God came down in him at the River Jordan and entered him. He proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas and the mighty winds, when he spoke to the trees and so forth, they obeyed him because he was God inside. He could have been a man. Listen to that. He could have been a man, for he was a man. But he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he is our example. We are men and women. We're also Christians. If he's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hands of the Holy Ghost, that we might be subjects to the kingdom of God. Now, he was totally man. He was totally God. But he surrendered his natural parts to his, and his physical parts, and his own thinking, and his own doing, and his own cares. And I only do that which the Father, which pleases the Father. That should have been read, because it's a scripture. There you are. Totally delivered from human beings. The priests come to him, the great men, and said, Rabbi so-and-so, and tried to bribe him into their affiliation and denomination. But he was totally delivered because he trusted in God. I'm going to talk about that next week, about does really man have a sovereign free will or not, okay? Now, did not the psalmist say, Thou wilt deliver him, for he has completely trusted in me. See, I will deliver my darling from the dogs because he has trusted in me. Show us the Father, Brother Branham says, and it'll satisfy. He said, now it's many times that it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. The only begotten of the Father has declared him, Philip. Oh, he was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. He says here, he says, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. And most oneness people stop right there. But he said, when you see me, you see the Father. They stop there. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. All right? Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Well, one verse down, he says, because the Father's in me. You see? It's like putting on a glove. If you're the invisible man, nobody can see you, but you put on the glove, and now they can see your hands, okay? From Jehovah Jireh, he says, that's the reason people couldn't understand him. Sometimes it was Christ speaking, or was the Son speaking. Other times it was the Father speaking. He was a dual person. He was a man, the Son. God was in, which was tabernacling in him. But what did he do? Did he go around saying, I'm the healer? Very contrary. He said, I'm not the healer. He said, it isn't me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. And in St. John, the 19th chapter, when he was questioned for passing the whole bunch of crippled, lame, withered, halt, blind people, healed one man laying on a pallet. The Father showed him to go there and heal. He walked away, and the rest of them laying there, they questioned him. A man packing his bed on the Sabbath, listen to what Jesus said in John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Is that what he said? I do nothing till the Father shows me a vision first what to do. Just like William Branham. All right? Let us see God, he said. and I said, he was more than God. God was in him. He was a man, but he was a dual person. One, he was a man. The spirit of in him was God. I said God was in Christ. It's like the scripture. She said, oh, no. I said, look, lady, I'll take your own scripture. He was a man, but he was a God-man. when he went down to the grave of Lazarus, he did weep like a man, that's true. But when he stood there, straightening his little stooped shoulders up and said, Lazarus, come forth, and a dead man that's been dead for 4 days, come to life again. That was more than a man. Man couldn't do that. That was God in his son. Just like William Branham couldn't do anything until he had a vision first. And God told him what to do. So Martha, like Peter, had the correct revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. But what she did not understand was how God himself, the very Father of Jesus, was also dwelling in him at that time. And so let's just read with the story again. Verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, well, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, the Jews knew of a resurrection. All right. Now, Martha didn't understand who was talking to her. She just thought the Son of God was talking to her. She didn't understand God was talking to her through the Son. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So let's skip now down to where Mary's, to where Jesus has met Mary along the way, and seeing her weep for her brother shows forth his human side. See, Jesus wept, and that's the shortest verse in the scripture. Jesus wept, and it shows his humanity. Okay, so we'll pick up. It doesn't show his God side; it shows his humanity. Now, John 11:32. Then when Jesus has come. And then when Mary has come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why? Lack of faith. All right? He saw lack of faith. All right? And said, where have they laid him? Then said they unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus, it doesn't say and, just Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused this man should not have died? See, they still didn't understand he could raise him up. And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus saith, take away the stone. Martha, the sisters of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. You know, that's true. The people in the graves right now that are coming forth in the resurrection soon are still stinking, if there's anything left to them. Just ash and whatever. Jesus saith, take away the stone. Martha said, he stinketh, okay? For he hath been dead 4 days. So the decomposing already started after three. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Now remember, the glory is the opinions, the values, and the judgment of God. And he is the resurrection, so that's his value. All right? Then they took away the stone from the place where he was dead, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me. Okay? Jesus speaking to his Father. And I knew that thou hearest me always, because he's in God. God was in him, okay? But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes on, and his face was bound about with napkins. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the thing which Jesus did, believed on him. Now when Jesus met Mary and saw her great sorrow, he was a man that could not help but to feel sorry for her. And he entered into that sorrow with her. But when he stepped in front of that grave and said, Lazarus, come forth, that was more than a man. That was God indwelling his son. Now, from his sermon, Believest Thou This, Brother Branham said, oh my, that's it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, Yea, Lord, I believe. Now look here. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you've been said to be, that was to come to the world. I believe what you said that you was. But what God has done for you, that's the truth. I believe every word of it. See, I believe every word, Brother Branham. I believe, you know what he said? He said, that only means you can read. All right? And that only meant that Mary could read, because she thought he was the Son of God. He did all the things God spoke of him, but she didn't realize that was God in the vessel. All right. Where have you buried him? He says. Oh my, here's where the woman told me not long ago when she said Jesus wasn't divine. Said he was a good man, a good teacher, or so forth. He was good for people to live by that. Just like with Santa Claus stories, you know, for the children. But said, he wasn't divine. And I said, oh, yes, he was divine. Yes. No, he wasn't, she said. I said, yes, he was. Look, I can prove it to you. When he went down to the grave of Lazarus, he cried like a man. And I said, yes, I believe he was more than a man. I believe he was God-man. I believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You see, if I have a glass of water, and then it's a glass, what you're seeing, but there's water in it. Now, I can't have a glass of water without the glass, right? And I can't have God in Christ without having a man to be in. God had to be in that vessel. You see, God has to be in your vessel or you won't raise up, okay? Now, I believe God lived in his son. And this is the other thing. People don't understand what the Holy Ghost is. It's simply the life. It's simply God life, all right? When Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life, it's that word is life. We all think of spirit as some, you know, essence, some cloud or some thing moving around. It's actually the life of God that's in you. That's what the Holy Spirit is, okay? And he went down to the grave of Lazarus. He cried like a man, okay? Yes, I believe he was more than that, okay? So he says, I believe God lived in his son, dwelled in his son, and reconciled the world to himself, to his son. Do you believe that? I do this, I do with all my heart. And he was more than a man. He was God and God the Son here on earth. He was God as the Son on earth because there's... Anyway, everything the Father was in him. And I believe that he was more than a man. He was God-man. And when he went down to the grave, he cried like a man. That's true. But when he stood there, held himself and said, told them to take away the stone, and said, Lazarus, come forth. When he was raised, he was more than a man. He was God. He was a man when he was crying, but he was God when he raised the dead. That's right. Yes, sir. He was divine. So I want for you to notice that before Jesus ever died and was raised from the dead by God, and there are 18 verses of scripture that tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead. He didn't raise himself. Like, you know, I remember watching years ago some cartoon when I was a kid, and, you know, the rabbit, you know, he's a magician and he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, but it's actually himself. He grabbed his own head somehow. He grabbed the ears inside and he pulled himself out of the hat. That's so stupid. That's so childish to think that Jesus himself could raise himself from the dead. It was God that was living in him. They tried to kill Jesus how many times? They tried to stone him. They tried to throw him over the cliff. He walked right through. Why? Because God was living in Christ. You see, but when God left him at the River Jordan, he was a man. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Three times in the scriptures it tells us that. One in the Old Testament, two in the New. Why did God forsake him? How can God forsake himself? He can't, but he can forsake the body he was living in. All right? So, 18 times the scripture says God raised Jesus from the dead. Yet before this happened, that same God who was indwelling in his son gave us a preview of things that were to come. And from his sermon, sirs, we would see Jesus. Brother Ram said, look at Jesus at the grave. Whether it's a vision or not. He's seen it beforehand. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast already heard me. See, so he already saw the vision. All right. But I say this for those who stand by. Then he pulled his little self together, and with a voice that spoke out yonder, when corruption knew its master, a man laying there dead, and the stone rolled away, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man that had been dead 4 days stood to his feet and lived again. Oh, he's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus, he's still Jesus. Certainly he is. He lives today, and I say this with humility and knowing that God will judge me. I've seen practically, not long dead, I've seen three people pronounced dead by doctors, laid out and everything, come to life again by the cause of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, let me just say this. You know, we were talking about this and showing scriptures and quotes on this. People think when I received eternal life, it was like November 4th of 1974, I got eternal life. No, you, Brother Branham said you always had it. You see, because you were a, in God's DNA, which is his word, his thoughts, you were a little clip out of that thoughts, okay? Just like programming, if you put a little clip into a program and say, say not, then when the person's typing, you know, they want to turn on their computer, it actually says, do not open this. Okay? Instead of, you know, hitting the button, it says, open this program. It says, do not open this. Just like Satan said, you know, said not. He added one word, and that disrupted the whole programming of God. Okay? So he lives today, and I say this with humility and knowing that God will judge me. I have seen practically, not long dead, but I've seen three people. Okay, I've already read that. Okay, so we go to Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. See, how can you awake if you're dead? And arise from the dead. How can you awake if you're dead? You're dead. But no, you're not. You're just sleeping as a Christian. And Christ shall give thee life. In other words, your predestinated DNA of God is laying in the grave. Your body's rotten, crusted, and everything else. But yet your spirit, you're still two-thirds person. So two-thirds of you is still alive. Two-thirds of you is just waiting on the call from God to arise from the dead. See, and the NIV translation reads it this way, Ephesians 5:14, for it is a light that makes everything visible. This is why he said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now we see this promise in Isaiah 16:1. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What's the glory of God? The glory is a word doxa, and it means the opinion, value, and judgment. So God's opinions are rising upon you if you believe this message. His values are on you if you believe this message, the word, and his judgments. He said it, it's going to be done, okay? And the Gentiles shall come to the light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. In examining these words, we must first know, know who these ones are who are asleep. Secondly, we will examine what this means, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And thirdly, we will examine this promise that is made to those who awake and arise, which promise is that Christ shall give thee life. Now remember, Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect. In Genesis 6, this is last Noah, it says he was perfect in his generation. That word is lineage, okay, genealogy. So Noah was the last man that was pure son of God. But he had offspring that weren't. He had a wife that wasn't. So he was the last man, all right? Now, when the serpent beguiled Eve, you have the great fountain of life. You have coming out of it is the book of life or the river of life that flows freely from the throne of God. That's all of God's seed. However, standing on the sidelines here is the serpent. He ejaculates himself into that timeline or into that book of life, that Lamb's book of life. And now you have from that point on the book of life. Okay, so from that point on, we've all been polluted in the body, not in the soul, not in the spirit, in the body. That's why your body, and I'm going to get into this next week when we talk about your will, how the only will that is sovereign is God's will. Man's will is not sovereign. There is a way which seemeth right to man, but that the way thereof is the way of death. So God gives every man a choice. However, his elect, he doesn't give a choice. He's in you working to will and to do. So I love that because You realize that, look, all things are going to work to my good because I'm his elect according to his purpose, okay? So I don't have to worry about where I'm going to end up. I just want to live for him. Like Brother Bram said, I don't do things because I'm fearful that if I don't. He said, I do things because I love him so much. Because you know what? God first loved me. And then we love him. That's what the Bible says, okay? So thirdly, we'll examine this promise that is made to those who awake and arise, which promises that Christ shall give thee light. Now, Brother Bram said in the sermon, believest thou this? I can see him walking down through that place there, then to the grave, said, take ye away the stone. Now, look like if he had been a gentleman, he'd have took it away himself. But he asked them women to do it. Why? You've got a part to it to do. Yes, sir. You got to do your part. Said, take ye away the stone. When God said to Moses, he was standing at the Red Sea, he said, speak and go forward. Now, Brother Brown said, if he would only spoke, nothing would have happened. The water would not have parted, but he had to step his foot into the water. When Elijah then, following after Moses, went to the water, he stepped in the water and took his rod, he took off his shawl, whatever it was, and he rolled it up and smacked the water, just like, you know, in high school when kids would smack each other with the towel. Well, that was his towel, okay? So he smacked the water and it departed. Did exactly the same pattern as Moses. Then when Elijah stood there, the robe mantle came down. He took the same mantle, went over the water, stepped in the water and smacked it, and it happened for him. Now we have the same thing happen when Elijah and Elisha and Malachi and Columba and St. Patrick, all these men, it's proven by history that they actually were used by God to raise the dead. Okay? What do? They actually put their hands on the man's, or they put their mouth on the man's mouth, and put their hands on the man's hand, and did exactly what Elisha did. And they got the same result. So if you follow the pattern that God has done, if God shows it in his word, if it's revealed in your spirit, then you do it and watch as it comes to pass. You know it's God, okay? All right. So I can see him straighten his little self up again. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always. But for these that stand by is why he said already, I've seen the vision. He knew what was going to happen. Then he cried with a loud voice and screamed and said, Lazarus, come forth. I believe, brother, if he hadn't called him specifically by the name of Lazarus, I believe the general resurrection would have taken place then. That's what I think about it. That's right. I believe the resurrection, every dead thing that ever had died, would have come out of the grave if he had just come and said, come forth. Yes, sir. But he called Lazarus, come forth. And I'm glad today that my name's on the book. And one day he will call too, and I will answer, said Job. And from his sermon, Revelation chapter 4, Brother Branham said, the same voice that summoned John, come up, the same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice that'll summon the church someday. So it's not the church sitting here and, you know, oh, now the shout was in Brother Bram and now the voice is in the bride, and so the voice will call. Then do it. I'm tired of living here. Do it. You can't do it, but God can. And the same voice that raised Lazarus, which was God in Christ, is the same voice that came down with a shout, a voice, and a trump. Okay? It's the same voice that summoned the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. Also, the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summoned dead Lazarus out of the grave, that same voice of the archangel. Christ is the voice of the archangel, the voice of the archangel. See? Now, oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summoned John to come up. The same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you know, notice that at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice, just like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Or 4:13-18, not just Lazarus come forth. Brother Bram imitates a weak voice, not just Lazarus come forth. Lazarus come forth. It summoned him from the dead. And he answered, here am I. And he came forth from the dead after he was dead and his body rotten. Now, one thing I'm going to get into next week, I'll just tell you, is when Jesus said to the person that was laying there sick and dying, or not dying, but he couldn't walk, Jesus said, "Stand on your feet." Now, could the man's will do that? No, but God's will can. That's why he's working in you to will and to do. All right? So a man could not have told Lazarus to come forth. God had to do it. And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet with the sound of the trumpet. And when it does, it calls always a trumpet called Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, listen. The feast, there's a Feast of Trumpets, and that's for Jews, and there's a Feast of Tabernacles. Did you know the word tabernacle is the word tent? We're coming to the Feast of Tents, brother, where God actually called all people in the world to come back at that certain time to be in that tent, okay, or in the tents that were set up. Now, and the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead, and the trumpet with the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls always a trumpet, call for Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets, which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky and the Feast of Trumpets. And now a trumpet denounced the calling together, calling to a feast. Now that is a Lamb's Supper in the sky. Now watch. The assembling together in the bride, the Feast of the Trumpets, the wedding supper, because remember, when we go to that wedding supper, that Feast of Trumpets, guess what? He deals with the Jews from that point on. There's their calling as well. All right? We have seen it in this time. Now watch just a moment before we close. And remember, God leaves two Old Testament prophets back with them to call them to that Feast of Trumpets. Okay? Now, from the rapture. No, it's the first thing is the sounding. The first thing is a trumpet or the voice, a shout, and then a voice, and then a trumpet. Shout, a messenger, getting the people ready. Second is a voice in the resurrection. The same voice that loud voice in John 11, 38 and 44, that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, and then the resurrection of the dead. See, to be caught up with it. Now watch, the three things take place. Now from the rapture, he said, one rapture is past. Three happened in the Old Testament of them prepared who the word of the Lord came to. Who the word of the Lord came to is Enoch, okay? That's one rapture. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. That was another. He was a prophet. See, the word of the Lord was Jesus. See, watching the Old Testament, them Old Testament saints, now when this rapture first taking place. Now notice, his loud voice awakened the Old Testament saints just exactly like the loud voice wakened Jesus, or wakened Lazarus. See, the loud voice. Remember, when he died on the cross, he cried with a loud voice that quickened everyone that was in the grave, and they didn't come up until after he did, so he could lead them captivity captive. Okay, and the second is fulfilled in 2 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Let's just read, okay? We just read it a few minutes ago. See, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others sorrow. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 12 to 18. That will be the second rapture. The second rapture will be the catching away of the bride. Ephesians 5:14 tells us, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So who are these sleepers spoken of here? By sleep he signifies the natural state of man, that deep sleep of the soul, into which the sinful man lays dormant, that laziness of spirit and stupidity. That insensibility of your real condition, in which every man comes into the world and continues till the voice of God awakens him. In other words, your life as you know it just shuts off. You go into that third that dimension, that sixth dimension, but your body's lifeless. There's no longer contact there. Now Matthew 25 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, in other words they understood, and 5 were foolish. They didn't understand. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because remember, 1 Corinthians 2 says, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't understand, okay? They that were foolish, but they were still virgins, so they were still untouched by denomination, okay? They that were foolish took their lamps, that's their Bibles. Remember, the Bible, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. And took no oil with them, no Holy Ghost. But the wise took oil in their vessels. It doesn't say in their lamp. It doesn't say in their Bible. It says in their body, in their vessel, okay, with their lamps, with their Bible, with their word. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight cry, there was a loud cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The wise virgin, the foolish, begin to study their Bible, trimming their lamp. And the foolish virgin said unto the wise, "Oh boy, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." They might have had they might have been walking in the light of their day at one time, but when the voice came, they didn't recognize. I mean, they recognized the voice, but they didn't have the oil. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not." It's like the Dr. Hoyer said, that verse means, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you anymore. That's a great divorcement, see? Now watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus tells us that two sets of virgins are awakened. No one else but these two different groups who are both virgins. One happens to be wise and have not only the word of God, but they also have the revelation on that word. In other words, light on that word. Light in their Bible. Light in their lamp. The other group has the same lamp, same Bible. They can read everything you read, but there's no revelation. There's no light. Or it's the same word, but they have no clue how to use it, for they have no oil. Now, we found that the state or nature of those who sleep through this midnight cry are those who are in a state of utter darkness, a state wherein darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. And we pointed out, okay, these poor, unawakened people, sinners, have no knowledge of themselves, although they may have much knowledge of others. Because the knowledge of ourselves comes from the knowledge of receiving our knowing God. In Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, shall manifest in his true identity, then shall you appear, then shall you phaneru, then shall you also manifest in your true identity with him in glory, with him in the doxa, with him in the opinions, values, and judgment. That's why he took a message to return the hearts, the understanding of the children to the apostolic fathers. Now, this tells us that when Christ manifests in his true character, we shall do the same. Again, we see in 1 John 3, 1-2, the same thing. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. There's no knowledge of him. The world can never know themselves because they can never know him. If you do not see the correct understanding of the Godhead, you will never really know who you are. You can't know who you are, because by understanding that God was in Christ, you also understand that a portion of God is in you. And you were part of God before the foundation of the world, or you can't have eternal life. You don't just get eternal life, you know, on, well, let's see, November 4, 1974, I got eternal life. No, you always had it. It was just awakened. You see, awaken thou that sleepest, okay? It is the seeing him as he really is that allows us to see who we really are. Remember, Jesus bypasses theophany, so he understood from the beginning. But you didn't bypass your theophany, all right? But when he quickened you, you heard from your theophany. So you heard, that's who I've always been, okay? So, now, we understand who this is that Paul admonishes to awake, and who it is that will never awake. So let's move on to the next verse. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from those who are amongst the dead. In other words, don't stay there in your stupor. Don't just lie there. I admit that he told us all that is left for the bride is to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. Yes, he did say to lay in the presence of the sun. But if you lay in the presence of the sun to ripen and fall asleep, you are going to get burned. How many ever, I should ask this, but before you're believers, how many sunbathe, okay? If you lay there and fall asleep, you're going to get burned, all right? Now, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, from those who are amongst the dead. Notice he never said, awake thou that sleepest and continue to lay there. He said, awake and get up, arise and get out from among the dead, those who are asleep. Still asleep. Remember, if you don't see the word and then step into it, you can't have what the word promises for you. Brother Branham saw Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, and he stepped into it and became Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, etc. All right? You've got to recognize you are God's elect. You are not supposed to live like the world. You are supposed to live like God. You have God's life. See, if you're white, a white child or a black child, and you say, well, my parents are white, my parents are black, or even my parents are white and black, so I'm going to choose one of them to live after. That's my culture. No, it's not your culture. If you are a child of God, you will live like God. You are a child of God. You are seed of God. Any of you children thinking that, well, my mom was good, my dad was good, so I'm going to be good, that doesn't do it for you. You have to realize God is your father, all right? And if God is your father, I want to please him in everything, okay? Because all things work together for the good of the elect, okay? So, all right. Notice he never said, awake thou that sleepest and continue to lay there, okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, 34, Paul said, awake to righteousness, that's right, wiseness, that means a correct understanding, and sin not, disbelieve not. For some have not the knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame. Notice Paul tells us, we have a purpose in being awakened, and that is, we are to awake to right wiseness. That the old English word for righteousness was right wiseness. In other words, I have a correct revelation of the word. Awaken to right wiseness. Awaken to the light. Now Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So David said in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's why the whole earth is groaning and travailing until the manifestation of the sons of God. Then you really know that you're a son of God. And you're no longer groaning and saying, oh God, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I do, you know, now I'm, like Brother Brown said, the king, the slave. He said, why is he different? He said, because he's a son of a king, okay? So when you recognize who you are, you've heard from your thought, theophany, you will become what you are, okay? Now notice in Isaiah 16, verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise and shine, that sounds like a wake-up call. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's why in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, Paul says, in that day when his word, or this word which I'm teaching you, shall be glorified or endoxazo in the saints, all right, in your Zoe. There is the answer. That is why we are taken and we get up, or awaken, excuse me, that is why we are awakened and get up. It is that the Lord might show forth his glory in us. He doesn't want to show your glory, you have none. There's a way which seems right to a man, but that's death. Now, if we look closer at this word, arise, it is a command to come forth. This is the resurrection command, the same command Jesus gave to Lazarus when he called him forth from among the dead. A person that only wants to lay in bed will never accomplish anything. And the fact will have a tendency to be, to be poor all his life. Proverbs 6 and 9 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, when thou wilt arise out of thy sleep? yet a little while, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as the one that travaileth, and they that want as an unarmed man. So notice in the book of Malachi 4 and 2, we find the son of righteousness, okay, arise first, and then he goes forth. But unto you that fear my name shall the son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Same verse, okay? Notice there are three things that Paul speaks here. Number one, awake thou that sleepest. First of all, we have defined who it is that sleeps. There are those who are spiritually dead. It speaks of those whose spiritual sense that are lacking. It's like every one of us before we got born again. It also speaks of those who can't exercise their spiritual senses. They have eyes, yet they can't see. They have ears, yet they cannot hear. They have feeling, and yet they cannot feel the warming of the Spirit of God. They have a tongue, and yet they cannot taste and see that the Lord is good. These are those who only dream that they are eating. And yet when they wake up to everlasting condemnation, will only know too well they did not eat, nor did they drink, but only they imagined that it was taking place. But they never really did eat or drink. Like Isaiah 29 says, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. And that word Zion, Brother Bram said, it always refers to the elect. In fact, from future home, he says, the daughter of Zion, remember, that's always the bride. So we see that those who sleep only dream that they are eating, and only dream that they drink. But when they shall awake at the second resurrection and face the white throne judgment, they shall come to know that it was only a dream to them, and they did not eat and they did not drink, and thus they were not filled. It's just like they will come to find out they were rich, increased with good, but they were blind, naked, and miserable. And they won't know it till the second resurrection, unless they awaken thou that sleepest. In other words, hear the midnight cry and pinch yourself, because it's all coming now. All right. So number two, awake thou that sleepest. There is a call to awake, a call to come forth from amongst those who are dead, a call to come out from amongst the spiritually dead, those who are asleep. Now see, remember, when Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect, everybody else from that time were dead. Their flesh was just, it might have lived like the serpent lived, but they were dead to God. They had to arise, they had to awaken and arise from the dead in order for God then to have victory over this flesh in you. All right? So we have studied who that group of sleeping people are, and have found that only the wise and foolish virgins awoke and rose up when that call come forth to come out to meet him, to come out from amongst them, and I will be not only God to you, but your Father as well. You've got to recognize who your Father is. It's not a man in the flesh. It's God. And if you don't have that revelation, then you weren't in God's mind. I'm sorry. My culture, my white culture says I should do this. My black culture says I should do this. And so I'm going to live according to my culture. And you're refusing God culture, God life. You see? Now, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and he shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord of God. Ye shall be. Okay. Now God is God to all, whether they be angels or men. And yet it is clear here that only those who have heard this cry the midnight cry to come out from among the dead, the cry to come out from among those who are asleep. Only they who hear his, who hear is to be their God, and only they who will come out will be the true sons and daughters of God. You will, by your fruits, you shall be known. Okay, so we're getting close to the end. So Mark 12 and 27. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He therefore do greatly err. So you know what? If God is not your God, I'm sorry, you're dead, period. I don't feel sorry for you. You're making your own decision, okay? Now, how can those who are dead worship? They can't worship. Their senses are dead. And by definition, God is an object. And then if they cannot worship, they are dead, and God is not for them. He's not God to them. And you know what? Then their God's the devil. That's just all there is. Now he says, come out, my children, come out to your father. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now Isaiah 16:1 says, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. While the world is in darkness, I have come to shine forth my doxa in you. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified, and doxazo, the word zoe is life, and means in, and doxa is values, judgment, opinion. So God, when in that day when he shall come to be and doxazo in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we've got to have a time when the Apostle Paul's testimony was received. And Brother Branham said, I only teach what Paul taught. All right? Now, Isaiah 61, arise and shine. Okay? For the light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, great and gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You ever have people come up to you and say, I can see that you're a Christian? That's the glory, that's his glory being seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, point number three. Therefore, we come to the main point. Paul is speaking of here. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Number three is that the whole purpose of waking from among those who are asleep is to receive the light, and this light contains the life of God. John 1:4 tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, there's your Bible. And the light shineth in darkness, that or your revelation. And the darkness shall darkness comprehended it not. John 3:19, and this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than, or in the greater measure than they loved light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or they are performed. They have their source in God. Okay. John 12:35. Then Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. While you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I mean, turn the lights off and people scramble. They don't know where they're going. Now, light is energy, and the light gives energy to the believer. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, and there are diversities of operations. It is the same God which worketh all in all. And the word operation is energio. It's the same word we use, energy. All right? Now, 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All right, the word worketh there is also energio. Now, energio, it means show forth, self, it means show forth yourself, be effectual, effectually work, to operate, to be work or put forth power, display one's activity. So it's all energy, okay? Now, Galatians 2:8. For he that wrought effectually, that's energio, in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh or energio by love. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh or energeo all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:20, which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask and think, according to the power that energizes in us. All right. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which energizes in you both the will and do of his good pleasure. And that's such a wonderful thought. All right, Colossians. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the energy which energizes in me mightily. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of a man, but as it is the truth, in truth, the word of God, which effectually energizes also in you that believe. So the word of God energizes you from being dead in your sleep to becoming a Christian, okay? James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. The energizing, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's beautiful. Philippians 1:6. That the communication of the faith, of thy faith may become energized by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right. Now, from his life story, because we're talking about possessing resurrection revelation. Brother Branham says, I believe when we get over there, we'll know each other. Don't you? I believe I'll know you now. Only we'll be immortal and we'll know each other. Why? They know Elijah and Moses, and Peter and James and John recognize them, and we recognize Jesus after he returned back to his glorified body. See, how would they recognize him except for they were with him before the foundations of the world? I was with you. I was with you. Okay? The Bible said it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we have a body like his, for we shall see him as he is. So we will have one like that, and he was eating and so forth. Now, I just believe heaven's a real place that we're going to. Then he says from question and answers, then you believe that Jesus Christ is that word, and that word is made flesh among, listen, if every one of us is a part, is an attribute of God, which is a DNA of God, part of his DNA, I don't know which chromosome I happen to be. I hope it's a good one, because God has all good ones. But in Jesus was the fullness of God's DNA. Okay? God created, he didn't use a woman to create the body. He created the body himself. So God made a body for himself, but he loaned it to his son to use, because the son was still a man. He had a spirit and had a soul. But the fullness of God then came to him. So he had God life and he had a soul. But the fullness of God life came to him at the River Jordan. And now that was God in a body. All right. So, Brother Brown says, the question asked, then you believe that Jesus Christ is that word. And that word is made flesh among us, fulfilling exactly what he said he would do in this age. Now, the first thing happens when we're resurrected, the ones which are a living just still remain. The resurrection will set in, the resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be an awakening time, and those which are asleep in the dust now will be awakened first, and these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. So they're corruptible in the grave, but they'll come forth in a glorified body. Then we'll all get together, and when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Now remember, we'll see them as they are, because something happens to us as well, like it happened to Peter, James, and John. They saw Moses and Elijah, and they identified who that was. Now these mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden they'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? Now remember, I don't care if a person dies, it doesn't end it, all right? In Genesis chapter 18, God came Remember, the Father always comes before the Son. He has to, because you can't have a Father who's the Son of his Father. I mean, you can't have a Father who's the Son of himself. So, the Father came to Abraham before the promised Son came. Can we all agree on that? All right. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that we all have a terrestrial body and we all have a celestial body. And when this terrestrial body is no more, we all receive the celestial body. All right. So in Genesis 18, God comes to Abraham. In Genesis 19, Abraham and his wife go down to Gerar. Okay. The young king in Gerar in chapter 19 and chapter 20, he begins to lust after Sarah. Now, just a minute. He is a young man. She's a 90-year-old woman. What young man is going to lust after a 90-year-old woman? But see, in Genesis 18, God says, I will restore unto you the time of life. So God restored to them 20 years old. And he sees this 20-year-old, and Abraham says, oh, he might kill me, so I'm going to tell him she's my sister. Well, she was his half-sister. And so the king was going to have, you know, going to take her into his chamber, and God said, don't you touch her. She's the wife of my prophet. You see, it all ties together, Genesis to Revelation. All right? So when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden there'll be like a sweep go over us and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man again. From an old woman to a young woman. That's what's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them, and then we will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that beautiful? What hope that we have. Because we're not going to remain here for the tribulation and the mark of the beast and all that other stuff. We're going to be gone. To the wedding supper. Now, see, from Israel at the Red Sea. Along came Jesus, the promised one. They done to him what they said that they would do, and oh, they killed him. He died. His soul descended into hell, preached to the souls that are in prison, taking the keys of death and hell away from the devil, returned back on Easter morning. And as he come through paradise, he knocked at the door. Hallelujah. I can hear him say, children, Abraham. Who's that? I'm your seed, the seed of Abraham. Daniel said, who is that? I'm the stone that was cut out of the mountain. There they are, the Old Testament saints, laying there waiting to be clothed upon in paradise. He opened up the door. Abraham said, are we going out? It's almost daylight on earth. Let's get ready to go. Abraham said, can we wait? Can we make a little whistle stop? I'd like to look at the city over. Well, yes, I'm going to visit my disciples for 40 days. And on Easter morning, he arose. And Matthew says that many of the bodies of the saints that slept in the dust of the earth arose and came out of the city and appeared to many of them in the city. I can see Sarah and Abraham coming down the street saying, oh, honey, look there. They've changed these little things a little bit. Look around here how this looks. Somebody say, who is that couple there? It seems like they're strangers. They say, we're recognized. Brother Ram snaps his finger. They vanished out of his sight like he went through the wall, you know. And they didn't even know or see him come. They went out. They had glorified bodies. And they appeared back on earth. Hallelujah. For a first fruits of the proof of God's power and the resurrection there was. Robbed and stripped. Principalities. Robbed and stripped principalities. And took death and hell, smothered it, and rose up on Easter morning and entered into the kingdom with him. No wonder they said, bury me in Palestine. They know the resurrection was going to take place there. Okay. Now Mother's Day, he says, as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around and the great circle will be getting greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last, he will be waiting for me. Jesus, so kind and true, on his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see him, we'll not be like we are now. We'll know him, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like him. He'll be more of a relative, because Paul calls him the eldest brother in the vast family of brothers. He'll be more like a relative, okay? to us than he is now. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in these mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like his glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when you see what the presence of his being has done to us, changed us, the old back young again, all the deformed straightened out, oh, we'll understand then why his power has healed us. The question that's been in our mind, how can he do it? How somehow mysterious? You know, Brother Frank, you're missing some limbs, right? Some pieces. You're going to have them then. You're going to have them raw. See? Somehow mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our mind will be this. How could it be? Majestic fingers will just untangle and unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. From the seven church ages, he says, now, this is the last one, closing. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Now, let me stop here just a minute. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead, as Mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, he's coming on a great big cloud, going to raise up someday, and God's going to come on. Now, the cloud that he's coming in is, if we could just have the time to get this back and get the real background and the whole thing. Now, the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See, now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment, see? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up, not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds, there'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts and they dried their corpse laying there and the pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard. See, so the condition you are in the graveyard is pierces on your cheeks, your limbs missing and whatever. But a great wave of that same Spirit and wave after wave, he that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I'm kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. So Brother Branham's resurrection, I mean, his age comes up first, then Paul, then Wesley's age, Luther's age, all the way back. Okay, like getting on an elevator. If you get in first, you're going to be the last one out. Every generation will come successfully as it went down. They which were last will be first. See, that's me. See, I'll know my people the next time my dad and his people, my grandfather and his people. See, Brother Brandon won't know you because you weren't. Some of us weren't even born. I was, but I was only 12. But I'll know Brother Vale. I'll know those who have gone down afterwards. And the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful then? See, it says, my grandfather and his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again. Yes. Now notice closely, I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they will see him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have such a wonderful, wonderful a time to look forward to. I don't know if it'll be this spring or next, but I believe every spring, you know, the spring is a time of resurrection when the plants that go down in the fall, they come, they're covered over in the grave in winter time, but they come up alive in spring. And you are the great resurrection. So I believe, Father, one of these springs we will see you, and we'll see the ones who've gone before us. And we're looking forward to that time. And in the meantime, Father, we're just trying to get our ducks in order. We're trying to take inventory and make sure that we are right and right with you, Lord, and with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.